It's the Underpowered Hour. On this week's show, we talk to well-known automotive journalist Jill Seminillo about the automotive industry. We'll tap into her vast knowledge of late model cars and talk about her popular Girl in the Trunk series. And now, here's the show. Welcome to the Underpowered Hour. I'm Steve Barris, mild-mannered television executive by day and Land Rover collector by night. You can find out more about our cars and what we're working on at thebarriscollection.com or follow us on Instagram at thebarriscollection. I'm joined, as always, by my good friend, Ike Goss.
Thank you to everyone joining us today. I'm the articulated bonnet prop to Steven's gas strut. I'm the inherent rattle of podcasting, Ike Goss. I own and operate Pangolin 4x4 in Springfield, Oregon, where we live and breathe Land Rovers. Check us out online on Facebook, Instagram at Pangolin 4x4. Let's get started.
All right, Ike. Well, this week I am feeling a little bit under the weather, so I apologize for my raspiness and drippiness and distant, whooping cough sounds or whatever comes out of me. I just apologize in advance.
I apologize for the extra time that our listeners will have to endure my voice.
That's true. Yeah, Ike is going to take the lion's share of the heavy lifting this afternoon. As we talk to our good friend Jill Seminillo, who is an automotive journalist amongst a number of other things, but also a rebel and the inventor of the Girl in the Trunk reviews of new vehicles. She's really wonderful and looking forward to chatting with her.
Super nice and super knowledgeable about late model vehicles. Really
doing
impressive.
It for a long time. Yeah, I've been doing it for a long time. So before we get to that, though, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the biggest news, maybe of the decade, if you will, to use Jeff Aronson parlance. The classic Defender, finally for sale again, worldwide, starting April 4th as a Lego set.
As a Lego set, yeah, Land Rover has been teasing this a little bit for the last few weeks that they were going to come out with a classic Defender Lego set, and they recently released a video.
Yes,
a video, and the video is the unveiling of the Defender Lego set, and they set up a remote Lego store in the Scottish Highlands, I believe, is where they do
it. Yeah,
and
the world's hardest to get to Lego store. Now, I will say they've obviously never tried to park at the Glendale Galleria to go to that Lego store then, because I can tell you.
Also difficult.
Almost impossible.
Also difficult, although not as scenic. And so
certainly not.
They get two Lego Land Rover enthusiasts.
Yeah, V2. I believe V2. Lego Land Rover. V2.
No, I feel like that's not true. That is not true at all. I feel like the Lego and Land Rover crossover is pretty universal. The Venn diagrams are really just one circle.
It's just a circle.
Lego fans and Land Rovers, I feel like that goes hand in hand. So at any rate, they get the coordinates in the video for this remote Lego store, and they kind of race to get to the Lego store to buy the Defender Lego set first.
Yes, yes.
Which may or may not be staged.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know. We're still.
And then they race to assemble the Lego set, which takes like almost a whole day or something.
Like 3 weeks, to put one together.
So they're sitting on top of this mountain, and they're like it's assembling cold, the Lego set throughout the night.
Yeah, it's a nightmare,
it's pretty crazy. It's fun to watch.
I think Ike and I are going to do the same thing. I think we will.
You think so?
We'll I don't know that we'll go to the remote Highland Lego store, but
that's the best.
I feel like a race. I feel like an assemble the classic Land Rover Lego set race would be, that would be fun.
That would be fun.
Yeah, and then who's the first one to lose a piece, and who's the first person to step on a piece? There's all kinds of little stuff.
Yeah, there's gonna be shouting and recrimination, and my set is incomplete, and
stealing
my controller's
bricks.
Broken. You know, whatever. Yeah.
What do you think of the color of the Lego set? The sort of somewhat Huey green,
It's kind of like heritage green or whatever they call it nowadays. Color, it's the light green color, and you can build your Lego set Land Rover as a stock vehicle. Mm-hmm. And then it also comes with a number of accessories to make the vehicle, you know, more capable or, you know, more interesting. So it has a lot of stuff. Yeah, has
a lot of stuff.
And
max
bars
tracks,
and roof racks, and
you got max tracks,
roll bars, and you know, jerry cans.
Yeah, two little engines. You could have the Rover V8, the mm-hmm. the new like Rover Classic
gas
V8,
or diesel,
and the diesel engine. It
gas
looks like
diesel.
Maybe a TDCI car. So it you can yeah.
That's
you don't have
neat.
To answer. You
yeah,
both.
And I was happy to see being you know from Indiana the high lift jack.
Yeah,
like on the
Lego
on the roof
lift.
Rack, the Lego high lift jack. Those yeah. folks down in Bloomfield, Indiana, got to be excited to see that. But
it's not clearly obvious what kind of winch is on the front, though. It's
I
hard to
didn't
say,
look sort of. Closely, but
yeah,
it
it's just Lego winch. Yeah,
but it's pretty cool. You know, I like cool. I like that this is a fun little collaboration between Land Rover and Lego.
It begs the question, when are they going to do the classic Freelander?
Never.
Yeah, never.
Actually, yeah. That's not true. The new Lego Defender is the classic Freelander.
All right. Well, with that, let's rev up the old interview machine and let's get Jill in here to talk about all those new cars. All right. Well, we're joined by our good friend and fellow Rebel team member and actual Rebel, unlike Ike and I, who are just Rebel adjacent. just big fans. Just big fans. Jill Simonillo.
Yes.
I want to make sure that we pronounce your name correctly, as we've had a good conversation about it already. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. And we're really excited to talk to you about all of the many things that you have going on. And Rebel being just a tiny, tiny little piece of your world. Yeah.
Yes. Tiny, tiny piece of my world. And I do want to say, even though you guys are Rebel adjacent, you guys are a very important part of being able to compete. Like, I could not have done half of what I did without the help of my husband. So you guys are much more important than you're giving yourself credit for.
Well, you don't know that, Jill. We're actually pretty detrimental to the, you know, they probably would have done a lot better if it actually wasn't for us. So, but anyways, I appreciate that. And it is nice to get invited to the party. So
just happy to be here.
Yeah, it'd be anywhere at this point. Yeah.
So we read your bio. Was online, and it was extensive. You do a lot. You are busy in a number of fronts. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I've actually been covering the automotive industry as a journalist for about 20 years now, and started out in daily newspaper. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm classically trained journalist with a capital J. Went mm-hmm. to the University of Missouri Journalism School, Missoura. But I, you know, started out in newspapers, so print mm-hmm. journalist. And saw the writing on the wall and knew that print was probably going away or at mm-hmm. least not going to be as popular. So I ended up online mm-hmm. as the automotive editor at the Chicago Sun-Times. And,
cool.
you know, kind of from there, I went to blogging and then I went to social media and then I went to a broadcast company where I was the automotive editor for them. They have like 150 websites or something like that.
Wow.
And I was the automotive editor for all of those. And then you know, just decided to kind of go off on my own and focus a little bit more, you know, but it was a little bit pandemic related, you know, when mm-hmm. everything got so stressed out and, you know, and I had some family stuff going on. And so I was like, you know what, I need to get away from the man a little bit and
yeah.
started contract work. And one of my biggest clients is Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. I work
right.
with
yep.
Tim
yep.
Esterdahl, who is amazing and mm-hmm. Gives me a lot of flexibility to do things like Rebel and to... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go to Sweden to drive on ice. And
yes.
I haven't been home, I think, in the last 3 weeks because I've been in California. Then I did some for a drive program. Then we went
yeah.
down to Glamis. We did some sand dunes training and
right.
then
yeah.
went home for I think 8 hours. It was literally 8 hours. I came home, went to sleep, unpacked, repacked, you know, back
yeah.
out on the road.
Yeah. Wow.
Then back to California. Woohoo! And then I've been in Atlanta and Asheville, North Carolina this week, driving some different vehicles. So
yeah.
I've kind of been all over the place.
Wow.
What a whirlwind.
It really kind of is. And it was really
yeah.
funny because I was in the sand dunes doing the training and one of their local radio stations had asked me to do an interview about the ice driving experience. And I was like,
mm-hmm.
how's this for irony? You know, I'm just back from Sweden and I'm talking to you about ice and they're in the middle of the desert and the sand
right.
dunes. And they're like, we're kind of jealous of all that. And
it's amazing.
Like,
yeah, it's amazing.
It's cool, but exhausting.
Right.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a lot to unpack. So that's like the last 20 years of of doing stuff. That's pretty crazy. So back to the automotive like print journalism.
Chicago Sun-Times, was that Siskel or Ebert? Which one was the Chicago Sun-Times?
Was one of, that's
the reason I know
Siskel.
The name of that paper. Yeah, it was one of them.
I think
Siskel
was Siskel, because I think Ebert Siskel, was at the Tribune. Because I know Richard Roper, I think he took over, and it was Ebert and Roper for a while.
Right,
and
right,
so,
right.
And Roper was at the Sun-Times.
Those guys are classic movie critics, right?
Classic movie critics.
Yeah. So, I don't think a lot of Zoomers listen to this show, so I think they probably, everybody knows who that is. But
right. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We're big with the Zoomers.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, 75-year-old cars are very popular.
Here's a question about an automotive section in a print newspaper. You know, I can remember reading the Indianapolis Star.
That's where I'm at right now, in Indianapolis.
Whoa. And they had, I'm from Indiana. And so they had an automotive section, and the automotive section was like kind of fluffy, if I'm being honest. It was like mostly an advertisement. Like they never said anything bad about a car that they reviewed. Like, it was always like, this is the best car ever. You have to get it right now. And then it was like all the dealership adverts, you know, kind of in there. So I don't know. Is that normal in a print newspaper? I never found it to be like hard-hitting journalism. Like, I never learned anything about a car that I wanted to know from reading those.
Yeah, I will say yes and no. So the paper I started at was called Pioneer Press Newspapers, and it was in the suburbs of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And owned by the Chicago Sun-Times. And it was the automotive section was a product of the classified advertising, department. Yeah. And so I basically had two bosses. One was the niche publishing director, and then the other was essentially the classified advertising manager. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because, you know, journalists with a capital J, like, not everything is fluffy. And, not everything is happy. And so, but there's a lot of good things to say, but you know, I've always been of the opinion that, you know, you have to balance it out a little bit. And I used to get in trouble all of the time because they're like, look, your story on the, you know, X is going to be like, there's going to be an ad next to it from the dealer. And I was like, that's nice. They would be like, could you maybe not like be really, really mean? And I'm like, I'm not going to not say something, but, you know, I did try to say it in a nicer way. I mean, I'm still telling you the car is not good, but I'm saying
even if it's not appropriate for a specific buyer, it would like when I would read those, it would never say that. It would just be like, this car is great for everything. You can buy it and do anything with this car. It, you know, has no flaws. It's perfect car. Buy it.
Yeah.
But that's completely different than kind of the reviews that you do now, right? You do a lot of online reviews. I saw some of your YouTube videos. You have a lot of different specs and a lot of different information about the cars in there. And they're pretty thorough reviews.
Well, thank you. You know, it's funny because, again, print journalist, never intended to be on video. Mm-hmm. And never intended to be on radio, but I do that. Mm-hmm. Never intended to have a podcast, but I do that. Yep. And, you know, as a journalist, I really felt like you have to evolve with the media and go where people are listening to you.
Right.
And, you know, again, stemming back from the original days when I was at the newspaper, you know, I really felt like you had to be fair, you know, not mean, not overly fluffy, but you had to be fair. And like you said, I really believe there's a car for every person, and every person or every car has a person that will love it. And so, you know, I try to temper whatever I'm saying with, you know, I didn't like it because I'm 5 feet tall and I couldn't see out the front window. Or, you know, I didn't it because I was wearing high heels and my heel kept getting caught on X. Right. Well, the dude's not going to be probably
wearing high heels right now.
So there are certain vehicles like a Jeep Wrangler that you will have problems with if you're wearing high heels. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And so now, I mean, a lot of what I do, so I am also on TikTok. And so one of my favorite things to do is I'll do like one video where I'm like, this is what I like about a car. And then I'll do a second video and I'm like, this is what I don't like about the car.
Right.
And it's funny because not everybody will see both videos. And somebody will be like, well, you're really mean. And I'm like, did you not catch the video about what I like?
It's a two-part deal.
Would it make more sense to combine those into like a, you know, one thing or not?
I try to keep it short because I, or at least shorter, because on TikTok now you can go up to 10 minutes and I'm like, ooh, that's way too much. And so the max I do is like 3 minutes. And that's usually, I can fill 3 minutes with things I like about a car and I can fill 3 minutes with the things I don't like about a car. And so like putting them together, I mean, I could probably reference them a little bit more. Hey, by the way, I've got another video on the things that I don't like. Be sure to catch that. You know, I've got another video on the things that I do like. Be sure to catch that. So, I mean, probably I could connect them a little bit more, but putting them in one video, then that would be 6 minutes and nobody would watch it.
Nobody's going to watch that.
So you mentioned, you know, like it's really important to keep pace with current technology, current media. AI is a big thing right now. And a lot of my friends who do a lot of like online journalism and writing and this sort of thing are kind of like a little wary of what's going to happen, because essentially now you can type in, you know, all of these various, you know, factors, and it will spit out an article that's, you know, maybe needs some editing, but for all intents and purposes is publishable.
Yeah. It's not just for Tinder rejections anymore. You can, you
not
can really, really get in there.
Your resume.
Yeah.
Is that a tool? Is that a, something you should be, we should be wary of, or is it an opportunity?
I've not used it. I've started reading a little bit more about AI technology. Just because I want to be aware. And I feel like it was CNET that had a big to-do about 3 or 4 months ago where it came out that people, like there were a whole bunch of articles that were written that bylines were put on of real people, but they weren't written by that person.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was all done by AI. And I have to say, I'm at this moment, I'm not concerned about it, because I think what AI would do really well, I mean, there are some people who should be concerned, I'll be honest with you.
Right.
What I think AI can do really well is analyze data. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it can take stocks, it can take sales numbers, it can take pricing information, and you can type all that in and it can put it together in, you know, not something that's going to be a pleasure to read, but something that will give you all of the facts. And so, I mean, and it'll be SEO friendly and searchable and all that stuff. Yeah. And so I feel like people who do a lot of data analysts kind of things, like they might want to worry a little bit. And maybe I should be worried and I'm not, and I'm sticking my head in the sand, but I feel like there is always going to be a place for somebody who's a good writer who is expressing an opinion. Like, I don't think an AI can, you know, express an opinion.
No, I think that's a good distinction. I think, but there are probably maybe car buyers who are like, you know, making their decisions based on whatever data,
robot,
you know, horsepower, ground clearance, you know, transmission, gearing, whatever.
Yeah.
And they might be able to use it to compare different models, you know, from a strictly, like you said, statistical standpoint. Yeah. But I think you're right. That's an important distinction to have an opinion to have. You know, you can't do an AI video currently.
No,
well, deepfake.
Yeah,
soon though. Soon though.
Yeah, but you know, if you ask it to make a video about you know, reviewing a car, that's probably beyond current technology. Yeah. So, yeah, I think you're safe in that regard. But,
you know, they can only really kind of refactor things they've already read. And so if it's brand new information, like it is the steering feel of the Grenadier, which we know is the most important topic in the entire world.
Right?
And if you don't talk about it at the beginning of your interview, the internet will be very angry with you, which is why we have pledged to never talk about the steering feel of the Ineos Grenadier. So, but yeah, no, I think that, you know, there's something to that, right? It can't discover new things. And the work that you do is often out there in the field with a new vehicle, you know, going through it often before it's available to the general public. And so, you know, I think that's what, you know, makes your content really interesting. I think that, and I don't think we can talk about your video content without talking about your In the Trunk series, which I worry is, you know, an advertisement for how many cars are easy to kidnap you in the trunk of, which
is true.
Yeah. Up to and including my own car, you know, the F-150 you've been in the trunk of as well, completely consensually.
Yes.
And yeah, it's just it's an interesting angle to put oneself in the trunk of a review car.
So there's a backstory. And it's kind of funny because when I first started reviewing cars, you know, I was trying to, in a way, kind of be like everybody else. And at the time, I mean, I was in my early 20s and everybody else was a 70-year-old white male.
Right, yeah.
Quickly learned I could not be like a 60 or a 70-year-old white male.
And that's the right way to be. I think that's you made the right choice.
Practice makes perfect.
Yeah.
And so, although I have to say I'm feeling a lot closer to that these days because I've been doing this for so long. So when I was at the Sun-Times, they actually had me pioneer video reviews. And so this is 2006. And they were hiring some companies to go out with me to do some reviews. And I was reviewing a Corvette Z06.
Mm-hmm.
And I like lift up the trunk of the Z06 and I look in there and damn, I'm like, I could fit in that. I could lay in it and I could put my arms out wide and I wouldn't even be like cramped.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, like this was my out loud voice. And a couple of my automotive colleagues are walking by me as I'm saying this. And they're like, yeah, you should do that, Jill. And I was just like, no, wasn't serious about that. And they're like, nope.
And the star was
really,
born.
We really think you should do that. And they're like standing there waiting for me to do it. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I get into the trunk of the Corvette Z06 and, you know, literally like was teed out and like was not touching anything. It was very roomy trunk in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And so it became a joke because it made it into the video and everybody's like, oh, well, how many Simonellos will fit in this? Well, I think this is a one Simonello trunk.
It's a unit of measurement now.
So then they made me a unit of measure. And there was one automaker actually at an auto show was like, well, we think this is a four Simonello trunk during their press conference. And I was like, okay.
This is maybe not good on a compact car. There could be a... Yeah. There could be a fractional Simonello.
No. This is the rule. There are no half Simonellos. There are no quarter Simonellos. Yeah. There are only whole Simonellos.
Don't put that
and
out
we
there.
Round
in the world.
Down.
We round down if
a Simonello isn't going to fit. So fast forward, it must have been 2010. I was working for a broadcast company and I was their social media director.
Mm-hmm.
And in my spare time, I was blogging for the Chicago Tribune and doing all of my social media stuff. Mm-hmm. And my boss at the time was like, wait a minute, you get in trunks of cars and people use you as a unit of measure? And I was like, well, you know, it's just kind of funny. He like gets on his computer and he's like, you know what? The Twitter handle girl in the trunk is free. And I was like, no, I think I'm good.
No,
and he was like, you need to have that Twitter handle. And I'm like, dang it.
Yeah.
So that's where the I have a Twitter and Instagram of at girl in the trunk.
Yeah.
And oh, you do.
Don't go to that subreddit.
Yeah, that's
do not do that. But I mean, but most of people realize it's in good fun, and
absolutely.
I'm playing around, and I usually will take pictures in trunks, and sometimes I'll include it in reviews where I actually test the trunk release.
Oh, so the emergency. Yep. Yeah.
Federally mandated that you have to have and I've even had people come up to me. So we are driving the Hyundai Santa Cruz in the Ribbon Rally.
Yeah.
And in there's actually under bed storage in the Hyundai Santa Cruz.
Oh, right. Of course. Yeah.
And,
very cool.
And it's funny. So I'm at this is before I'm doing Rebel, before I, knew I was going to be driving the Santa Cruz. Mm-hmm. I was at the launch of this vehicle and I'm sitting in the audience and I get up to walk around. They won't let us even take pictures at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all under embargo and they're very hush-hushing it. And I'm walking around, I'm looking at it, I'm looking in the underfloor storage, and one of the engineers comes up to me and he was like, tap, tap, tap. He taps me on the shoulder and I was like, yes. And he was like, I just want you to know that the reason why there is a pull tab, an emergency release button in the underfloor storage of the Hyundai Santa Cruz is because of you. And I was like, okay. And they're like, yeah. So I think it's 1.5 cubic feet of space in there, which is exactly me. And so a small child could fit in
there. One Simonello.
One Simonello.
Yeah, yeah,
and
that's right. Exactly one.
And they were going to try and cut that because they're like, who's going to crawl into this space? Like, who's going to actually do that? And they're like, let me show you Jill Simonello. And so now they have a tab.
So you're the reluctant hero of storage capacity. Storage capacity.
Yeah.
And why the Hyundai Santa Fe is the most popular people smuggling vehicle.
Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz. I'm sorry. Santa Cruz. That's right.
Santa Cruz. So you've reviewed, I don't even know how many cars, so many cars. What are some of your favorites?
You know what? So as much as I say, I try to be fair, there are just so many good cars these days, and you would be very hard pressed to buy a bad one.
Ooh, sounds like a challenge.
I do have a few that I hate, but for me personally, I'm a huge Mazda fan.
Mazda.
I love the design. I love the ride and handling. I think that they have done a great job kind of bringing their vehicles up market with up-level materials. They are super comfortable. They pay a lot of attention to the ergonomics of the driver's seat and like the head bobble and how you fit into the vehicle. And I don't know. So I think I love Mazda. The Mazda MX-5 is one of my favorites. It's a convertible manual transmission.
We have a Miata in the workshop right now, and we're working on putting together an Emmy Hall style off-road Miata in the very near future. So
This is the second time in this week that somebody has sung the praises of Mazdas to me.
It's true.
We have a customer who is, and you may know this, we restore old Land Rovers, and we have a customer who has his father's Land Rover that his father bought new in Africa. And he took all these like trips when he was a kid, like on safari, like real safaris. To the point where they got like attacked by bandits and they got like in shooting battles in the Land Rover and like it's pretty crazy. And he's like, I want you to restore this Land Rover, and my daily driver's a Mazda. I love Mazda. It's my third Mazda, you know. So I haven't heard I guess I'm not in the Mazda community, so I haven't heard people sing the praises of Mazda, but second person this week.
So yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Popular.
That's
pretty cool. Popular little car.
Now, do they make a pickup? You edit? No, not yet.
They have. Let's see. So they've got the CX-3 is gone, but they've got the CX-30, the CX-5, the CX-50, and the CX-90 is coming out, and then they've got the CX-70, which is coming out. So they've got three SUVs right now, with two on the way. But no pickup truck. They used to have a pickup truck once upon a time. I believe it was called the B series or B roll or something.
One of their most famous is the Mazda rotary pickups, right? They made a rotary engine at one time, and they made a pickup truck with a rotary engine. It says rotary on the tailgate too, I think.
Here's a question: where do you fall, Jill, on is the brand new Ferrari SUV just a Mazda MX-30? I don't know if you've seen the photo and profile of them stacked on top of each other, but I don't know. It is the Scuderia has maybe missed the mark just a little bit on what people were expecting from a Ferrari SUV, or they just really agree that a Mazda MX-30 is a great car. I don't know.
So, back to that vein of questioning, the other end of the spectrum, what are some of the ones that are consistently
falling
towards the back of the pack? Yeah, what do you
hate?
Yeah, my do not like videos consistently do a lot better than my like videos.
Yeah, people love to hate.
Negative journalism. Yeah, it's true.
So I will tell you, recently, one of the vehicles that I have, and the way I was trying to put it is, it's not my jam.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Is the Audi Q4 e-tron.
Interesting.
I thought that it was ill put together. The materials were not Audi quality. It didn't drive like an EV. Like when you get into an EV, you expect to have a lot of instantaneous torque and get that push to move forward and to, you know, have that whee! And even in dynamic mode, it was like, and so I didn't like how it drove. I didn't like my driving position. I didn't like the materials. And it was just, I was very, and maybe it's one of those things where I was like, yes, I'm going to drive the Q4 e-tron. I'm going to drive it. It's yeah. It's like when you go to a movie and everybody's overhyped it. And then you go see it and you're like,
The book was better.
Right.
I would say that was one of the vehicles that I've been most disappointed in recently.
Interesting.
And really, like, I found some things nice to say about it, but it was hard.
Yeah.
So we obviously are a Land Rover podcast. And so we
sometimes
I'm
driving a Land Rover right now.
Oh, tell us about it.
Yeah.
I'm driving the new Range Rover Sport right now.
Oh, very nice. I like the Range Rover Sport.
I just swapped into it. So I live in Chicago. My parents are down in Indianapolis. And so I just drove 3 hours down.
Oh, nice.
And I have to say, I like how it drives. It's very comfortable. Mm-hmm. I am really hacked off by the wireless charger.
Oh, yeah. Land Rover's famously bad wireless charging. Yeah.
Really hick. I mean, because here's the thing. So I have my cell phone. I've put Waze into it. I've got it connected via wireless Apple CarPlay. Thumbs up.
Yep,
works really well, very easily. Put it in the tray, because where else are you going to put your phone? Because I've got actual things in my cup holders, yes. Like, you know, cups.
Cups.
And
yeah.
So I'm going to put my phone in the wireless charger. And yeah. I leave Chicago. I feel like I left at like 10 o'clock this morning. Mm-hmm. And I had my phone in the charger. I called my mother-in-law and we were talking. And about 45 minutes into our conversation, the Apple CarPlay disconnects, the phone disconnects. And I was just like, what? And so I pulled my phone out of the charger and I'm like, what? You know, I'm driving down the highway and it's like 150 degrees.
Yeah.
And I'm like bobbling my phone, trying not to crash. And my phone had completely overheated and shut off. Ooh, because yeah. It was in the charger. And that was yeah. only after 45 minutes.
Right.
Now, I know exactly why this is. You know, it works perfectly. So the Land Rover charger, it's not charging the phone. It's charging the car from
battery. Yeah, I think it is a reverse. It's taking the charge from my phone. That's why I yeah. showed up and I had no battery, right? No, I was severely disappointed. And then I have to tell you, the thing that I'm like kind of hypersensitive about is a wireless mm-hmm. charger in a car.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
one of those things that I feel compelled to talk yeah. about. And yeah. I've only found one automaker so far that has managed to get it right.
Which one is that?
General Motors.
Oh, I was going to say, it's not Ford. I can tell you
no,
that much.
No, it
that
is not. Is, it is
Ford's
not
is
Ford.
Terrible. Land Rover's is absolutely terrible. Exactly the same system as in the Defender. And it is unusable because your phone gets into magma mode so quickly that
yeah.
it's not great, though, to keep a small cup of tea warm. No problem. It works
right?
quite well. In fact, I think that may actually be what its intent is. It's not. It just looks like you're supposed to charge your phone,
yeah,
but
you
really,
like,
it's a small hot plate.
I'm
you know,
not
for,
sure. How did they? How does it get all the way through like production and all the way to market and not work? I don't understand yeah. how that works.
Nobody has gotten it right except for General Motors, and I don't know what General Motors has mm-hmm. done. But I noticed it first in the, it was the 2023 Silverado pickup truck. And mm-hmm. I was mm-hmm. on the drive for that event. And again, it's like, where else are you going to put your phone? Well, there's this nice little slot right here. You may as
right.
well stick it there. And
right.
it was the wireless charger. And I like pulled my phone out expecting to find it warm. And they have like either air conditioning blowing on it. They have a cool pad in there. I don't know what they've
right.
done.
Yeah.
But I pulled out my phone and I was like, the back of my phone is actually mm-hmm. cold. So did not overheat. Managed to, you know, charge my phone really well. And I found that in every General Motors vehicle that I've driven. It's
interesting.
Similar. Yeah.
They figured it out. I have
they
to say, I use a regular wall charger in the F-150 as it has a wall socket on the yeah. on the dash and just charge my phone that way because both the USB and the wireless charging pads are useless.
Yeah.
I will end the trip somehow with less battery, even though it's been plugged in the whole time,
mm-hmm.
Often.
My daily
great.
Driver is 65 years old, so
not so much.
It,
no wireless
it doesn't
charger
have a wireless charger. It no. it's very wired.
It's very wired. Charger, yeah,
which is plugged into like you know
the inspection
slot. Sockets.
Yeah, just the inspection sockets. Yeah. That's
so
fine.
Works, so though. are there cars that are available in other markets that you would like to see available here in the United States? Like,
yeah.
You
what's
look
a
at,
love it?
You
love
seem
it
like,
can't drive it.
Yeah, you seem like you were researching new automotive offerings on a regular basis from all these different manufacturers, and they all have cars available in other markets. And you look at those, and you're like, wish we had that here.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple from Alfa Romeo I would love to see over here. Because right now they have the 4C, which I think has gone out of production. They've got
yeah,
the
Stelvio.
Yeah,
I don't think they make it here anymore, yeah.
No, they've got the Giulia, and then I feel like they have a smaller SUV. Oh, yeah, the new Tonale that just coming
yeah.
out. They have Tonale, not toenail. T-O-N-A-L-E. And it's really funny because they sent us a press. They sent us the press release and they're like, do not pronounce it toenail. And so, of course, I'm interviewing like the president of the company. And I was like, so that's toenail, right? And the guy who told us not to call it toenail is in the background going, stop. And I'm just like, I'm kidding. I know it's Tonale. I'm making a joke. Laugh. Well, lighten up.
Little angry little Italian guys.
They clearly recognize the mistake after.
We shouldn't have called it that.
We shouldn't have called it that.
I mean, Italians, what are you going to do?
Alpha especially. I mean, yeah, we have a gift for kind of being just off the mark.
Well, myself included. But the Giulietta, I think, is really cool. And then you have going back to Mazda, they have the MX-30 with a range extender that they're going to be selling. Mm-hmm. So the MX-30 is their all-electric vehicle. It has a really piddly 100 miles of range. And
looks surprisingly like a new Ferrari SUV.
It looks surprisingly, but over in Europe, they're putting in a rotary range extender. We're not going to get that over here. I think I would love to see that over here. I think because I liked the MX-30 when I drove it. It has cork accents, which are kind of cool. And I mean, again, a Mazda drives really well, but 100 miles range is just a non-starter.
Pretty
put
hard.
Put your to-do list right there, your shopping list there on the dash. Just pin it to the dash.
Just perfect. Pin it in there.
Tell us your thoughts on the Jimny.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, Jimny is one I would also like to see over here because, I've never driven one, but I went to the Geneva Motor Show in 2019, I think. Mm-hmm. And I remember walking into the display and I was just like, I want all of these.
Yeah.
I want all of these.
Yeah, they're so great.
That's one thing we don't get here is simple, straightforward cars that don't have a lot of widgets and I love them.
I can park a Jimny, full-size Jimny, in the back of the F-150. It is exactly the dimensions of the bed of an F-150.
I expect to see video on that.
As soon as I can get one, we'll do it. That's what we're going to do. We're going to drive to Mexico in the F-150, pick up a Jimny, and just bring it back as cargo. They'll be fine. As long as it's not driving across the border, they seem to not.
Speaking of Mexico, they also have a series of compact pickup trucks down there that we don't get up here.
Yeah.
From Ram. Is it the 700 or the 1200 from Ram? Mm-hmm. It's their Ford Maverick sized pickup truck. And I mean, Ram right now doesn't have anything smaller than the 1500 full size pickup truck.
Than a small condominium complex.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. And I feel like they're missing out on having a midsize and a compact truck.
Yeah.
And so, I would certainly love to see any of that coming up this way.
Just smaller car. I feel like here in the United States, you have this real dichotomy between small cars and nice cars. Nice cars are always big. Mm-hmm. Small cars are always, and so some small, nice cars would be very welcome, I feel, personally.
Well, and I feel like there are some automakers who are making an effort of having value-laden vehicles that are well-priced but not necessarily cheap. So I just drove the Subaru Crosstrek. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really good example of a vehicle that have a $24,000 price tag and a base price with it. And they've done away with
manual. That's below the current average of 32 or something?
Oh, I think the average vehicle transaction price right now is $49,000.
Wow. Holy smokes.
Yes. So crazy. So well below, almost half of what the average transaction price is. But, at a base price, you're looking at standard all-wheel drive. You have really good cloth interior. You've got standard safety technology. Mm-hmm. And it's a really good compact driving vehicle. The base engine is okay. It's not going to win any drag races. It's fine. I'm hoping I'll get to drive the up-level 2.5 liter engine coming in May. They're a little bit behind production for that because I think hopefully I'm not mixing this up. I've been traveling so much in the past couple of weeks. I'm like, what day is today? But the 2.0 liter engined vehicle is built in Japan. And so they had started production. And so those are already, I think they're going to go on sale next month. And the 2.5 liter is going to be built in the United States. I hope I'm not messing this up with something else. It's coming a couple months after that.
So I feel like people that are interested in either buying a new car or researching vehicles, they should look at all your videos that focus on all these cars. Oh, where can they find you online?
Everywhere. No. So I do most of my SUV and pickup truck reviews for a website called Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. And so the website is pickuptrucktalk.com, and then the YouTube channel is Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. So most of my reviews end up there. I also have my own YouTube channel. It's just at Jill Simonello. And I call it Car du Jour because those are the cars that I'm driving today. I hashtag all of my social media stuff Car du Jour so that if you are looking for me on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, wherever, you can find me that way. But Car du Jour. So most of my stuff, though, is under my own name at Jill Simonello.
So I don't know if you've listened to the podcast before, but we have a very special segment that I'm sure you will excel at. It is called the Lightning Round, and it's a series of quick questions and short answers.
That's not my forte. Short answers. I'm a journalist. I'm very verbose. Out. All right. So, lightning round. Got it.
So we got a few quick questions and short answers. Okay. Are you ready?
Right. Sip of my drink.
Appropriately hydrated. That's very important.
All right. Yep. Stay hydrated.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Me and my cherry blossom LaCroix.
Ooh.
All right.
All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
Gas, diesel, or electric?
Depends on the vehicle.
No. Short.
Diesel.
Perfect. Mm. Perfect. Nice. Hard top or soft top?
Hard top.
Ooh. Controversial.
Manual or automatic?
Manual. You don't even need to finish that. Manual.
Yeah, good. Yeah,
nice. That is the correct answer. Mm-hmm. Solid color paint or metallic paint?
Metallic.
Interesting.
Real fancy.
Just not matte.
No.
And this one's going to be reflective of my own out-of-touch nature. Coil springs or leaf springs?
Coil
springs. And the best way to get gear oil out of your underpants?
I'm going to say wine away.
Oh,
wine away.
I think wine away would probably do it. I bought wine away to get rid of red wine out of a white carpet, and I found that it works on pretty much everything.
That's
just
awesome.
Just anything away.
Yeah.
Six out of six. Perfect.
Yeah, that's a perfect score. It's a perfect
score. Well done.
I want to go back to the diesel, electric, or gas question.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have to make a decision, and there's only wrong answers. So
there's only wrong answers.
So diesel with a pony motor.
Yeah, pony motor diesel. That's a good. diesel with a smaller diesel engine to start it. That's what I like. But well, Jill, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope that you'll come back. We would love to. Hear about you know, your future adventures in everything from the Rebel to various trunks of new cars and trucks, and all the best in the world of amateur off-road racing and journalism. We look forward to reading more of your great stuff, and thanks for spending some time with us.
Thanks for coming, and next time we see you, we'll have to have you review a classic Land Rover.
Oh yeah,
classic Land Rover. I would love it.
Yeah, you could definitely fit in the trunk. Yeah.
I could fit probably underneath the seats. I can fit in
no
all the spaces.
No, we can fit you in all the spaces.
Fit in all the spaces.
Yeah. All right.
Before we get too creepy, I'll just say thank you. Thank you all for having me. I had a lot of fun. This was really good.
All right. Thanks again.
All right. Well, it's always so much fun to chat with Jill.
Super nice. It was really great to meet her at the Rebel and then talk to her today. So just incredibly knowledgeable about new cars. Just watch her videos, you know, if you're thinking about a new car, you're just interested in cars, go have a listen or watch your stuff. It's great.
Well, and again, you know, things like the charging pad and stuff like that, admittedly, it isn't describing the steering feel right off the bat, but the how warm or shitty your phone or whatever it does to your phone, that's actually that's valid in a new car. Like, those are the things that people,
it's a big deal.
You know, they care about, and it is annoying. It's funny because, you know, both new cars that I have the wireless pads are totally garbage.
Why I have old cars.
That's right. Yeah.
If you burn your phone up in one of my cars, it's because you've left it on the manifold.
It was an actual fire. Yeah, there was an actual fire. You plugged the inspection socket in upside down or something. Yeah. That's a real problem. But with that, it's been a slice. I wonder, Ike, if you are going to ANARC, the big 75th anniversary Land Rover Festival. Out on the East Coast in Greek Peak.
I absolutely am hoping to go.
Yeah, as am I.
A lot of famous Land Rover owners, a lot of neat vehicles.
Yep.
75th anniversary only happens once. So you have the opportunity, make your way to Greek Peak.
Yeah, check out the ANARC website. There's camping, there's the lodge, there's a number of other things. I believe you can sleep in the back of one of Jeff Aronson's cars if you ask him nicely. There's all kinds of...
He will make you a sandwich.
Oh, I guarantee you.
If you want a sandwich made by Jeff Aronson, go to ANARC.
Go to ANARC. That's every attendee of this year's ANARC will get a sandwich made by Jeff Aronson. So, there you go.
He's going to fly in lobster. He's going to make lobster rolls.
Lobster rolls for everybody. Yeah, it's going to be... That is a guarantee that everyone... Definitely sign up, though. It looks like it's going to be a great event. We're going to be there. It's going to be great. Had a great conversation with our good friend John from Center Steer a couple days ago. We've got some shenanigans planned. I think it will be fun for the whole family, but no one under 18 admitted for nudity and profanity reasons. But it could be fun for the whole family. We just chose not to make it such, but it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
It's going to be really good.
Hop in your Land Rover and, you know, bring a friend to tow your Land Rover there for you or whatever. And yeah, and check it out. So, all right. Well, until next week, it's been a slice, and we'll talk to you then.
See you soon.
The Underpowered Hour is produced by Liza Barris, Ike Goss, and me, Steve Barris.
Pavel Svardov composed and performed our theme music. Consider supporting the show on Patreon, and if you already do, thank you. Your support makes the show possible. For even more, check out our Instagram or Facebook.